Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday, April 10th, 2012 Carborough Board of Aldermen meeting. This is a work session and we are we have only three items on our agenda. The first item on our agenda is item A1, follow-up report regarding Eubanks Road realignment options.
Marty, you want the staff report?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Everyone is doing well. I will be relatively brief and then happy to try and answer any questions as needed. As you already know, I imagine, the town conducted a design workshop for the Northern Study Area, and the Durham Area Designers facilitated the workshop, and it's a public event sponsored by the town. And there was a report that was presented to the board in February 2012 with some follow-up actions assigned to the staff, one of which was to look at the intersection realignment for the Eubanks Road and Old NC 86 area. Okay, so yes, as of February, we were assigned to look at this intersection, look at possible alignments, and bring information back to you. So continuing along that, NCDOT, at the town's request, prepared four different alignments for consideration, and I have those as a slide that I'll get to in a minute if you want to talk about them individually. NCDOT's interest is primarily in improving safety at the intersection. They actually had plans to do an intersection improvement here about a year ago. It was in the last funding cycle, and the town requested that they hold off on that for purposes of this design workshop in case anything came out of the design workshop that would move it in one direction versus another. So alignment A is the option as of now that's expected to be constructed, and we can talk about that a little further as we move along. Again, funding is in place. They held over the funding from the last cycle to now. So it would be a DOT project. They would be doing all of the funding. And there is already a preliminary agreement in place between the property owner and DOT. This is a bit time-sensitive because NCDOT has informed us that if it's not done during this cycle, they're going to be pressured to reassign the money to another project. There was also discussion, brief discussion of a traffic circle at the intersection with Old 86. And we've had preliminary discussions with DOT. No engineering work or anything of that nature has been done. But just at a glance on paper, it does look like a viable intersection for that type of treatment. That clearly, though, is not part of this project. The funding for that would have to be handled as a separate project. And would be a much more expensive project than they have endeavored to do as just a quick safety improvement. So the town, if we wish to pursue that, would need to, the board would need to direct staff to place that on the long-range transportation plan. And from there, it goes through the steps accordingly and gets ranked and hopefully would eventually be constructed. So with that, I'll show you the four alignments here. Let me find a laser pointer. And to cut to the chase, so to speak, this is alignment A down near the bottom. It was found to be the most favorable alignment out of all the options in front of us for several different reasons, just to keep this brief for now. The primary one being that it was actually the original, at least approximately, and I think almost exactly, the original alignment that they had created before the workshop. And it kind of was presented during the workshop. Some of the concepts that came out of the workshop mirrored it in an almost identical way. It only involves one property owner. There are a few constraints. It maintains the intersection with Drummondland Road, and The pros and cons, as staff offered just as commentary, are in your package off to the left here. Some of the issues with the other three involved multiple property owners, no preliminary agreement of any sort in place as we're talking now. There are some wetlands up in this area. There's an old cemetery, and these alignments, for one reason or another, had fairly significant disadvantages. These concepts are here, again, if you wish to discuss them in the context of what you have in front of you tonight. Otherwise, I'm happy to answer questions, and I will go backwards, excuse me, leave it here if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer them. I should mention as well, Omar, the property owner, is here if you have questions of him. Yes, ma'am.
Is he related to, like, Omar the tent maker or, like, so Omar the property owner?
Mr. Zinn.
Mr. Zinn. If they were to do a roundabout, would that be in the same place as alignment A?
Yes, that was the context for the preliminary discussion we had with DOT, is that it would just be right in this area here.
And, yes. And the work that would be done on alignment A would be able to be incorporated I don't want to get into a discussion of roundabouts because we all have different ideas about them, but if a roundabout happened, it would be able to incorporate the work and the money that's already being spent on alignment A?
I believe so. I don't want to misspeak. NCDOT may be better suited to answer that, but I don't know of anything about this design that would preclude or end up as wasted infrastructure.
I would just hate to see the state spend money on something and then 5 years later come back and spend money on the same thing again.
Right.
But if it could be incorporated, that would be one less argument that I could have against it.
Lydia and then Dan.
Yeah, Marty, I know the the impetus behind the realignment was partially due to safety concerns where the current Eubanks Road comes out, like right with the site distance coming up, Old 86.
That's correct.
So I'm assuming that alignment A meets that safety feature. I mean, even as much as B, C, or D would, I guess.
That's correct. B, C, or D obviously move even further up, but NCDOT has determined that A is satisfactory, meets their parameters for sidelines and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I want to suggest that rather than our making any kind of decision on the question of the roundabout this evening, that we refer it to TAB for next time they look at the Transportation Improvements Program, that they can basically discuss the merits of that and see if they want to make a recommendation to us in that regard.
That sounds like a good idea. I think I don't have anybody signed up, I don't believe, to speak on this. Omar, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
If you don't mind, I'll try to be brief. I know it's a closed session, but
can I just make one question? Is that an easement that would allow for a future roundabout? Do you know? At that intersection, you know, it comes out like that.
In other words, the way that it's drawn there for alignment A,
yes,
that gives you space to do that, or that's a thought.
We did discuss that. Again, this is just kind of a superficial level, you know, no engineering involved. And it's unclear as of here and now whether the right-of-way line to on the west side of Old 86 is sufficient to center the roundabout in the north south corridor, but there is sufficient right-of-way, or would be if this does come to pass, to offset a roundabout. There are some examples out there of that now where right-of-way isn't sufficient on one side, so there's just a little curve in the road leading to the roundabout, if that makes sense.
And in fact, actually, the one that's on your map there is kind of that way.
Yes,
already.
Yes, you can actually kind of see that. That's correct.
To understand, you're saying that with that easement, it could be the offset version?
Exactly. If you look at that section and then look right here, obviously it's turned east-west,
right,
but it's fairly similar.
Okay, cool.
Does that make sense?
Thanks. Okay. Omar.
Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
Thanks, Mark. So just real briefly, thanks for, I'm up here with you guys every week these days, but thanks for giving me the opportunity. Really, the, you know, DOT has funding in place, and last time I was up here before you guys speaking about this, you know, I just mentioned that I wanted your input. I don't have any agreement in place with DOT right now. I just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to have an agreement in place while they have this funding in place, because in order for me to do something up there, we're going to need to have a safe intersection, and obviously I'd much rather DOT fund that road realignment than me. So, you know, that's really all I want to say. I mean, I took part in all the studies, and the Northern Area Study Groups, and, you know, as Marty said, there are several issues with the other alignments, mostly that they're on other people's properties. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them, but that's really all I wanted to say.
Parker Lewis LLC, the company that DOT would need one agreement with for alignment A, that's your company?
Yeah, it's myself and my brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how do you view this traffic circle, no traffic circle kind of issue at this point, Omar, if even you know enough to say?
Well, I've talked to Chuck at DOT, and there's not funding in place currently for the traffic circle. Mm-hmm. We, you know, with discussion with Marty and Trish and Chuck, myself, we discussed the traffic circle. I'm fine with the traffic circle. I think a traffic circle is nice. It's aesthetically pleasing, as well as it moves traffic. You know, it'll be good when the landfill does close, and we'll eliminate a lot of that large truck traffic that a lot of people don't like to see. But, I mean, I like traffic circles. The simple fact right now is that Chuck has funding in place for this, mm-hmm. but not for, you know, not to design, survey, and create a roundabout. So that would be an additional future project.
Your property, you own how many different lots up there right now? Or you guys, whatever, have control over?
Well, I'll try and outline it. It's from here. I believe this one right here as well. Boom, 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 boom. Right up to here. And down here.
Okay.
Including this. Now, we don't own these two parcels right here.
Right.
But we also, in addition, own
one of
this them. This right here.
So one, two, three, four, five, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's approximately 27, 28 acres.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, Omar, what about, or maybe this is Marty, I don't know, once the road moves, what happens to the old right-of-way, like where the old road was?
The old right-of-way gets split up, gets divided back wherever the old property lines were. Most likely half will go here and half will go here.
Is any of that on the south side of the existing Eubanks Road? I mean, some of that on the south side of Eubanks Road has been developed as part of that, whatever it is, Drummo Land subdivision. But
this is an empty lot right here. Kelly Hunter's family owns.
Is that a single family? I mean, at least as currently?
It's a single lot.
Single lot,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know about this one right here. This is the Hiskey property, their farm right there, 5-acre parcel right there, and there's several.
So that has presumably some level of development potential to Hiskey.
This does. They're not interested in selling at this current time, or last time we spoke with them. And
okay,
I'm not currently looking to buy land these days.
Not too many people
looking to sell land, but no.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to think about how any of this affects the sort of developability of the Hiskey property in the future. The sewer line, there are no sewer lines up quite all the way into the area the map is showing.
No, the closest sewer line is back here behind the school right here.
Uh-huh.
And there's an easement that comes up this draw right here.
Okay.
There's an easement that gets to this road as well. There's water right here, and there's gas, and there's electric, which would be rerouted right here in this road.
So it seems like, based upon what I'm seeing there, that the Hiskey property still has some future potential at some point for development, even if we move to alignment A. But that the access is obviously all going to be off of Old 86.
The Hiskey property, yes. They have a driveway right here at the crest of the hill. And I'm sure Owosso would require me to, you know, with the
this, stub out in the right direction.
To create an easement right here for sewer. Marty, is there anything you want to add? I don't mean to talk the stage.
That's okay. I think you've more or less talked through what I was going to say, and that is just that there was some discussion of that, and we recognized essentially any of these realignments would take away the access you're discussing. Alignment A at least maintains this intersection proximate to all this land, but
right.
I understand the Hiskey property is one lot removed from that.
Right.
So, yes, there is frontage. There would remain a frontage along Old 86. It was also discussed that it's conceivable that a development in this area might provide for another side road connecting in that direction.
Obviously it could be integrated in with what the Zins or whoever eventually does there. Excuse me for one more second. So is there a residence at that Hiskey property right now? And where is their current driveway access on Old 86?
Yes.
Old 86.
Okay. So this doesn't like close their current driveway.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So looking at some of these charrette drawings, I noticed one or two of them have buildings on that lower property, and there is a driveway coming off. So what are the chances of leaving that access? That one, for example, you see how it's got the like where the road is still there. So right, that kind of entrance. So the idea of maybe not like covering that with grass, but rather keeping it. I mean, it'd save you. Perhaps some paving, something to consider. Of course, keeping it a dead end.
Well, whenever this property is developed, right? Whenever this property is developed, Sammy, the number one, this property will have to access Eubanks kind of, as far, we've talked with Chuck about that, kind of far off in this direction. So this is a good approximate entrance on Eubanks. But, I can just tell you from being in the world of building that the whole grade here is most likely going to change. You know, you kind of create a pad, and you create a level area, and, if you're going to have, whatever might go there, it won't necessarily maintain that grade to recycle that asphalt at that grade level.
Sammy, were you just point of clarification, were you trying to ask about the possibility of keeping the kind of existing intersection?
Right.
Additionally?
Yeah, I was thinking you could.
Because I think the issue, that. If I can, if y'all will forgive me for jumping up here. I mean, the real issue here is the way that, I don't know if you can see those concentric rings of topography around this house that's
some
right
mountain.
Here. But when you come up here, you're really coming up over a hill, and it's just as you crest over that hill, that's where that right turn is. And that's really the key concern is the way that this hill blocks your view of whether people are slowing down
right,
to make that right turn, or alternately, whether
people
are getting ready to the left.
I'm not suggesting keeping the intersection, but rather the road to that dead end.
I got
you're talking about.
You're just saying the infrastructure to lead back in there. I see what you're saying. Okay. All right.
Mark,
yes.
I had a question for Marty. Marty, you alluded to the timeline being kind of tight. And I like Dan's suggestion of referring this back to TAB. Is there the time to do that?
I was only suggesting the roundabout.
The roundabout. To yeah, not this.
Yes.
So this
right,
can move
not
forward.
The alignment, but
that's
the roundabout.
Correct.
What is the timeline on this?
Omar, actually.
Yeah. They want to build it during the summer when there's no school.
Gotcha.
So he really wants an agreement in place late April, mid-May. And that's what those are words from his mouth. And,
All right. So Dan has suggested referring the roundabout question to the board, to the advisory board.
Yeah, that's included in my motion for attachment A.
Second. Okay, very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Good luck. All right. Wait, actually, Omar, before you leave, I'm not really asking you this question, but just listen to the answer to this question before we leave this item. So DOT is saying that they think that an eventual roundabout at that intersection would be a considerable additional expense, which I can believe.
Yes.
Have any kind of numbers been thrown around? I mean, is $100,000, $1 million? I mean, what are...
I'm not aware of anything out there. I'll ask Trish or Jeff if they know something I don't.
You threw a number out. I don't remember it.
And I guess the question is, how do we get? I mean, I think this moves us down the right direction with all of this, and I think it's appropriate to ask the TAB to give us their thoughts on the specifics of a roundabout there. But I think it would be helpful for the board members to understand at what point would we really decide that issue, or how would that ever get funded, or that kind of thing. If you want to.
As Marty said, that a roundabout typically needs to be included in the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Program, to get funded, and projects in the TIP need to be in a long-range transportation plan to get funded. So there's this process for getting a major intersection improvement like that funded through NCDOT, and generally, I think a cost estimate in the ballpark of $250,000 to $500,000.
Okay. And we prioritize that along with our other TIP projects, so we might put it down the list, and the MPO would then put it even further down the list in terms of likely funding in the near future.
Yeah, last May was the last time the board submitted a local priority list to the MPO, and that's the setting by which the town would submit a request for the roundabout, for it to be evaluated by the MPO.
So that would be a question for sometime probably next year, or late this year, early next year sometime. When they do the state does their next two-year process for funding. I guess, I want to just throw it out there for thought that I'm by no means absolutely convinced that the right thing to do is a roundabout at that intersection. But I think that we ought to be looking at the question of, I think the roundabout works really well at Eubanks and what is that called there? Lake Hogan, is that called Lake Hogan Farm? Or, anyway, Lake Hogan Farm Road, the north end of the putative north end of Lake Hogan Farm Road and the and Eubanks. That traffic circle works really well there, I think. And, as an alternative to looking at 4 and 5 lane profiles and that kind of thing, I think that approach is something that we ought to be looking at for the intersections all throughout the northern area. Eubanks and Old 86, Eubanks and Rogers Road, Rogers and Homestead and Old 86, and maybe even like Homestead and the south end of Lake Hogan Farms Road, that we might be able to create a very pedestrian and bicycle-oriented kind of transportation infrastructure that still allows for a good level of motor vehicle flow, especially at peak hours, through all of those areas. Anyway, I feel like at some point we ought to, whether it's systematically for the whole area as a part of the planning process that we're doing up there, or perhaps as we push forward, for example, one of the things that's already on our priority list, I believe, for transportation is bicycle and pedestrian improvements along Old 86 from, well, basically everywhere that there aren't, they don't exist now. But one of the projects basically is from Calvander north to the edge of our jurisdiction, and that, anyway, what I'm trying to get at here is we really ought to maybe reconceive that project to say it's bike, ped, and motor vehicle improvements, and the motor vehicle improvements are these would be maybe three traffic circles to replace existing traffic light at Homestead Road, and then also to do a traffic circle at one place I haven't mentioned is maybe Hogan Hills Road. Is that the right name? And Old 86, whatever that intersection is, something. Anyway, I'm saying all this with no engineering qualifications whatsoever, but I'm just throwing it out there that I think that might be overall a way I'm not convinced that it's absolutely right, but I feel like we ought to at some point explore as a board whether that could be a good option for Old 86 in general, or for that matter for all of the state-maintained roads on the
and so rather than add a project, actually reconceive the existing project.
And we might along the way, if we even play our cards right, you might say we might even get DOT more interested in the bike and ped
by adding that magic word road improvements.
Mm. So anyway, I just want to throw that idea out there. I think item 2A on our agenda is a public hearing on community development block grant funding for small business and grant application proposals. Mr. Manager.
This item is related to our CDB project for the Roberson Street and Sewer Project. And Annette Stone, make a brief staff report.
Bringing my water with me because I've been suffering with a cold for the past couple of weeks, and hopefully I'll be able to. I won't breathe that way on anybody. So let's see. Somewhere. This is right here. I used the standard issue Town of Carborough PowerPoint there. So this evening we're going to talk just a little bit, real briefly, about the opportunity for funding through the CDBG, the Small Business and Entrepreneurial Grant Application Proposal. And as part of CDBG funding, there are two required public hearings. Let's see. And this will be the first of those two required public hearings. The second public hearing is scheduled for April 24th during you all's regular Board of Aldermen meeting, and the application is due April 30th. The intention for this public hearing is to consider proposed projects, and we know we have one proposed project in hand that we've all been talking about, but and so we're here to get public feedback on that, or if there's another project out there.
Just not to interrupt, 2011, is that just... Is that just officially what they call it?
Yes.
Even though it's
they're a year behind. Yeah, it's 2011. I looked and checked also. So yeah, it's 2011. So that's what this public hearing is about this evening. So I'm just going to go through the parameters, the guidelines associated with the application process. The primary purpose is to provide funding to local governments for the creation or retention of jobs, grant funds. Must lead to the creation or retention of jobs that primarily benefit low-moderate income individuals. And in addition, the grant application must include a plan for creating an entrepreneurial environment. So there's kind of these two funny pieces. There's a project that we're talking about doing, and then there's this little chunk of money, $5,000, they say, that has to go toward creating an entrepreneurial environment. So we've come up with a proposal for that. The maximum funding amount is $250,000, and there is no local match requirement. However, as we go through the budgeting creation, as I'm continuing to work with the town manager on what our ultimate budget is going to be, it's highly recommended that we do a local match to be competitive in this process. So when we come back in April 24th with a final budget, we'll recommend that there's some local match associated with it. The funding eligibility is contingent on job creation, retention for permanent full-time jobs, and there's that $25,000 per job created, which is consistent with all the things that we do with our own CDBG revolving loan fund. At least 70% of those jobs must be for individuals earning 80% or less of the area median income within the past 12 months. So we're not trying to create low, moderate income jobs. We're trying to employ people who have been on that low and moderate income spectrum in the past 12 months. And they must involve one or more local businesses that have been operating for more than 2 years with less than 100 employees. So these are just some of the program guidelines. Eligible grant activities include infrastructure, wonderfully, purchased land, capital purchases, or job training, things that are not eligible, revolving loan funds, micro enterprise grants or loans, incubators, or debt restructuring. So that's just, again, just some bullet points about the program itself. Creating an entrepreneurial environment. There are funds available, and again, they're very specific. They're $5,000 must be designated toward available for activities that will equip the community and business leaders to take deliberate steps to create an environment in which small business entrepreneurs can flourish. The funds may be used to obtain training and plan for activities leading to the development of an entrepreneurial environment, such as attending training or holding community meetings to identify needs of local entrepreneurs. So those are the parameters of the program as it stands right now. And we do have a project that we've been talking about and considering. That is the extension of public sewer on Roberson Street to the 100 block, to provide service to the 100 block of Main Street. This project would provide access of public sewer to 22 different businesses that are in that block of Main Street. It would provide for the job retention of 140 plus or minus people that are employed on that street. And we all know that the sewer that's there, it's working today, but it's a real unknown whether it's going to fail tomorrow or it's going to last 5 years or 10 years. So, but it's sort of tedious for those folks. And just some numbers to know that the annual sales tax collected there for the countywide is $326,000. Just for the Carver's portion is $28,000. And our property taxes that we collect there annually are $65,000 and some change there. So that is the proposed project. Again, tonight is opportunity for the public to talk about that or if there's another project out there that maybe we don't know about. And secondly, a proposal to create an entrepreneurial environment. What I'm putting forth as staff here is a series of four workshops. And they would be designed to assist local nonprofits to become more sustainable entrepreneurs. And we're hoping to design a program that will help them understand how to create their own revenues and help them become more sustainable. We all know there's diminishing federal funds. There's critical local dollars. We're going through the human services process right now, and we know how critical the need is. So the assistance would help for-benefit or for-sector-type entrepreneurs to create more sustainable business models. That's the idea. That's being put forth. So, with that, I'll be happy to answer questions or you to allow for public comment opportunity.
There's no action on our part this evening because we have another public hearing.
Other than to perhaps direct staff that this is the project you want us to go after and to go do that.
This is the project I'd like you to go after.
Simeon and then Randy.
I hear that. We might want to match, and the maximum is $250,000, and which is exactly what we need. And then we have to put $5,000 towards an economic development project, which is what you just explained. And I was before you shared that part, I was thinking this would be a great opportunity to really pursue our goal as expressed through the Local Living Economy Task Force and some of the things projects expressed in there. One of them is to really serve as training wheels for a network of businesses in town that could really support each other, very much kind of like you're describing. In part, recognizing that those funds are drying up, it's time for the businesses to support, and as a local government, for us to support them, support each other as much as possible. So I was thinking if we're going to be providing matching funds, we could augment that $5,000 possibly to really make that a viable project to really establish a local business network. And those workshops would fit into that, but I feel we could be more intentional about it being more about having that network get established with the goal of it being self-sufficient over time. Mm-hmm. And so that might be a great opportunity to put funds by the town to leverage
$250,000. That, and that way it would be more attractive on our part. We'd be providing that. We'd accomplish both goals.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, the $250,000 is the max. The $5,000 was within that.
Okay.
And probably at a minimum, based on my experience with community development dollars, I would suggest that we do a 70-30. We may end up, you know, again, working with the town manager when we end up doing some other kind of spread. But that is to be competitive, because this is going to be a competitive. But certainly, I think you're right. The, you know, going back to the local living economy task force guidelines and threading that in and having that be an outcome of those workshops is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, Randy?
Well, Sammy, I'm so glad you said that, because that was what I had in my notes to ask. But I was thinking that the I understood that the $5,000 was within the $250,000. So I was wondering if the $5,000 could be a direct match, and if there was a way to be able to match another piece out of the $250,000. I mean, I don't know, how much leeway do you have to designate the matches?
The way that the budget will be structured is that we'll create a project and we'll say it's going to cost whatever it's going to cost to do the sewer, and then we're going to add $5,000 on for an entrepreneurial environment, mm-hmm. training workshops, and then we're going to say the town is going to pay for, you know, or we're going to ask for 70%, 80%, whatever that number is, we're going to ask for a certain percentage from CDBG folks not to exceed $250,000, and then the remainder would come from the town or whatever other sources that, mm-hmm. that we come up with. Does that make sense? So it's the whole budget, and so we're not really like, you know, this is a match and it's not a match. It's the whole project together.
Now, the HUD criteria, does the sewer fit into that? Really?
Infrastructure, yes. I've been talking with the folks at the Division of Community Assistance and Investment for months about this. So they kind of know our project, and they've been very helpful in sort of developing and thinking, and, you know, as we've gotten this far with it.
Because nothing stymies entrepreneurship like failed sewer.
And what about the...
basic.
What is the potential to... beyond retaining jobs, but creating jobs? Because it seems to be really weighted towards creating jobs.
Well, they say it's both creation and retention. And, again, I think that that's where our local match will help us be very competitive. We'll have, you know, sort of a project that's very neatly put together. If we have a good entrepreneurial kind of plan together, I mean, you know, I can obviously
that's
guarantee.
Where I think the new job creation would come in between the training and entrepreneurship. Great idea.
Okay, Dan, and then Sammy, and then...
Yeah, I don't see in the guidelines that a local match is required.
It's not required.
It's not required. But are you suggesting that we would have a better chance of getting the grant if we're matching?
I'm very much suggesting that we will be much more competitive in this process with a good, hefty local match. A lot of the CDBG, and it's been a while since I've done the housing, but it's typically like a 20%. There's sort of a requirement, a baseline. So I feel like if we step above that, at least a 30, you know, maybe even more. I mean, again, working through the budget with the manager. So but I think it's going to help our competitiveness. I really
do. Thank you.
I noticed that there's a 50% users of infrastructure during the project period and for 3 years after project completion must pay for a portion of the cost of the improvements, and that 50% of that can be retained by us. And so the question being, could we put that money towards a local living economy network?
We could. I don't expect a lot of program income out of this. That is directly related to tap-ons, and we're going to have to come up with some kind of methodology to assess the property owners or the tap-ons that we do. The way, and I'll let our public works director come up here and talk about this more if we need, but the way that we're looking at developing the project is that from the sewer that we do a stub out and there not be a requirement to tap back into the main line and tear the road back up and all those kind of things. So there's a requirement within the guidelines that there be an assessment of property owners. And the way it's structured is the thought that there'd be future tap-ons. So if there are, in fact, future tap-ons, then we'll have some sort of assessment structure in place. And 50% of that money would have to go back to the state, and we would keep 50%. And so certainly we could designate, but I don't anticipate a huge amount of program income in the next 5 years.
So just to jump in for just a second, just to be really clear, what you're talking about is, for example, if somebody one day built a building behind Armadillo Grill or something like that and tapped into this line, then they would have to pay at some point.
The assessment fee that we structure, which will be part of the package when we come back on the 24th, you'll see what the assessment.
And half the money that they would have to pay to help pay for the sewer line would go to the state, and half of it would come to us.
Right. So program income. For five years.
But the current properties don't have to do that for what reason?
They're part of the budget. It's sort of built into the budget that assessment. So as we do where income's going to come from, where the various sources are going to come from, that'll be built into the budget.
So you're anticipating that there would be some assessment to some of the current properties?
There's a requirement that there's an assessment, okay. So we're going to try to
come up with. So Armadillo Grill is going to have to kick something in here.
Right. We're hopefully going to structure something that's very affordable for the property owners. I mean, you know, that's our intention.
Sorry, Sam, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, those are contributing to my question. Thanks. The last question I had was, I noticed that there's a fair housing choice study requirement. Is that something we already do for applicants that are 10,000 people or more?
There are quite a few, I'm trying to think of what the word is, program requirements. There's another name for it that goes, there are just all these attachments that go with CDBG funds if you get them. So there's money for administration. So, again, if we get this money, there's some money for administration. I would like to throw out a consultant who does this all the time to make sure we have our checklist of things that we comply with, have all the citizen participation plan and the, you know, all the things that we have to consistency. That's what, you know, for consistency. So that's probably one of those checklist items. So.
Okay.
Many times the CDBG applications have more to do with housing rather than this type of a more economic development-oriented one, so it's probably kind of intended more for that.
I just want to second Jackie's motion that we encourage staff to continue pursuing this with the in mind to meet the application deadline.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lydia, it's been moved to second. Lydia and then Brandy, and then we're going to vote.
Yeah, just my question, Annette, is with regard to the four entrepreneurial workshops, I imagine there's a strategy behind them being targeted for nonprofits. Is there a reason for nonprofits versus for-profit?
Well, I guess my connection and working with the human services folks that we're working with right now, and there's a whole sort of interest locally here for fourth sector, for benefit type businesses that to help them become more sustainable, help because there's so much need out there. Mm-hmm. So teaching them to become entrepreneurs and sustain their missions is, I think, a niche that here locally that we would, I don't think anybody else is going to come up with that. I think, again, it's going to make us competitive and do something that's a little different that other folks could go and emulate in other places.
All right. I just wanted to check with Annette. It seems like the application deadline is April 30th, so, I mean, the 24th is tight. Is it doable? I mean, is it really doable?
We're working hard. Pieces have been distributed out to various people that will have involvement. In this, we will be focusing on ACME, which is the largest. I only have to deal with one business in order to meet the guidelines.
Okay.
So I deal with one business, ACME. I've only got to verify 8 jobs for the amount of money that we'll be going after. So it sounds really huge, particularly this, but I feel pretty good that, you know, we've disseminated information out. I'm getting a lot of assistance from the public works director and with the engineering that's been done out there already. I mean, we're pulling together the pieces of information. You might see my light on late a little bit next week, but we'll get it pulled together.
Before we vote, I'd just like to thank you once again for, like, the creativity you're bringing to your job. I know you really went out and searched for a way to make this happen. So we're really lucky to have you, and thank you for coming up with this for the town.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. All those in favor of Jackie's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Good work. Thanks very much. All right. That brings us to item A3, a resolution. Oh.
Was that just a public hearing for the board?
No, I just didn't have anybody signed up, but come on up. My bad. Fortunately, there's two public hearings, so.
Yes, I know.
There have been another time.
But I wanted to get in on this
one. Already, no, absolutely, but we already voted on this one tonight, but maybe your comments will
make us
chasing us for our next meeting.
No, I hope it does for this meeting. Of course, I'm Braxton Fushi, and my concerns here is that in reading this, out of this, 10 jobs must come out of here. Now, I have not heard anything about those 10 jobs, how we're going to track them, where they're going to come from, and where will they fit in this budget.
May I answer that?
Please go ahead.
If this project isn't completed and the sewer fails again, we will lose up to 140 jobs. And so it's either creation or retention. And this is a project that will retain those jobs.
I understand that. But it used the word must create 10 jobs for the amount of money that you're using.
Right.
And I also heard Annette saying that that's one of the things she's looking into, ACME, and making sure that they fall and fulfill that requirement.
Yeah. Well,
we'll look to hear more detail on that on our next public hearing. But go ahead and finish your thought.
I think it needs to be said now so that folk like me will know that that those jobs are there and not, as just something that's been passed over.
Right.
Because that was my concern.
Absolutely.
Okay. She addressed the other question I had.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to hearing more about that issue specifically at our meeting on, is it the 24th? Is that the right date? Yeah.
Is that at Owassa?
Is that meeting going to be at the Owassa? That's one of the ones that we'll be meeting over.
Yeah.
So, Braxton, we're going to be over at Owassa.
Okay.
All right. Item A3, a resolution setting the date for 2012 legislative breakfast.
As I just bet Raleigh's waiting to hear what Carver wants.
I see.
Okay.
They can't wait.
That, you want to make a brief staff report?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Board. The item before you tonight is two parts. The first is to set the legislative breakfast. Staff has proposed a date of May 7th at 7:30 a.m. That's when most of the local delegation was available, and that's in Attachment A. Attachment B is for the board to discuss and set a list of local legislative priorities. We've included last year's list of priorities and the currently adopted North Carolina League of Municipalities legislative priorities. The Triangle J Council of Governments has not adopted their legislative priorities for this year yet. We'll make the board aware of those once they do so. Bear in mind, when you're making your legislative program for this year, this is the short session. The talk out of Raleigh is they're not going to try to take on too many new bills this year. The best we can hope for is sort of that they leave us alone. So with that, I'll defer to the board to discuss.
Okay, and you said May 7th was when the legislative delegation said that they could meet. Is everybody going to be able to make, or at least as far as we know, everybody's going to be able to make it May 7th from the legislative delegation? Okay. Before we, I don't know whether we can delve into anything other than the date itself, but let's focus on the date for a second. Is May 7th going to work for everybody?
What day of the week?
It's Monday.
It's a Monday.
Okay.
Monday, and it's 8 a.m.?
Okay.
7:30 a.m. OMG.
What's that?
Yeah.
May 3rd?
May 7th.
Anyway, I'll be there.
You'll find out.
At 1:30
a.m.
So, in
just two children,
we have a public hearing at some point on the. Well, this is a resolution setting the date, and this is discussion of legislative issues tonight. Okay, so. So if we're all clear about May 7th, is there anything we need to discuss in terms of legislative issues?
Well, can we go ahead and move the meeting, the attachment A?
Go right. It's done. Moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. You know, obviously we have, because this is an even numbered year, the legislature usually doesn't take up anything very controversial. We can certainly ask if we care to for things that are controversial, but we can't really expect much to actually happen on that front. Are there...
But this is a legislature that's been known to come back to Raleigh for a weekend specifically to take up things that are controversial.
But not things of interest to you.
Well,
there may be something of interest to me. I asked Representative Hackney specifically about one bill that whether he thought, given it being the short session, it could be plausible that could consider it. And he said he wouldn't put it past this current General Assembly. And it's two bills. One is the... possibility of weakening current regulation on hydraulic fracturing is one, and the other one is the utility companies are trying to push through automatic annual rate hikes so that they can finance nuclear power plants, something that they would have pushed through the last legislative session had Fukushima not happened the week they wanted to do it.
So are we pro or against these two things?
We are against more rates. Oh, I thought I missed. I thought you were trying to figure out how I stated it. Sorry.
So basically, regarding anti-fracking rules and regulations, and then
annual rate hikes.
Annual rate,
or as they know it, construction work in progress, QIP bill.
Is that what they call it?
Well, annual rate hikes for nuclear power to subsidize.
To saddle ratepayers with
the
risks.
Okay. I think those are fine to bring up.
I had one other.
Well, Sammy, were you finished with those two for at least
well,
a moment?
Yeah, I think this one might not be an issue or possible. It's more about being proactive as opposed to preventing something from happening. And I've talked to a lot of people in town who wish we could ban plastic bags, but I don't think we'll get that past this general assembly.
We
did
in Europe.
We talked about that one.
You know?
We talked in a different time.
Let me jump in on things like plastic bag. On things like plastic bag banning and that kind of thing, it is you know, many of those things do have to do with sort of what our local authority is and so forth. But I think there's also the question of, and this gets to part of where we are in our dealings with Chapel Hill and Orange County governments right now in terms of solid waste management for the future. But you know, I hear at least like, I would say every 6 months from somebody who is absolutely convinced that banning plastic bags would be like really the right thing to do. San Francisco has done it. Let's do it. And I don't disagree with the basic notion, but I think the point I would make is that part of what's worked really effectively in reducing our solid waste per capita generation rates over the last, 20 years almost by now has been that the way that we have had a kind of collaborative approach with Chapel Hill and Hillsborough and Orange County to try and put into place a set of policies that kind of work for our whole county. And I don't mean to belabor this point about plastic bags for plastic bag banning particularly, but I just want to point out that one of the One of the real problems that I think it causes our community in Carrboro to have Orange County decide that they're no longer going to provide any solid waste disposal facility in Orange County, and have consequently Chapel Hill looking at going completely their own way and kind of walking away from working with Orange County, is that the opportunities for these kind of to make kind of community-wide develop an integrated strategy for solid waste management goes away as we collaborate less and less potentially in the future. And so I guess the essential point, two essential points I'm trying to get at are, on the one hand, there's a huge amount of value in having Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County and Hillsborough all working together and all having the same policies about landfilling cardboard, for example, or having a unified approach on everything from aluminum cans to oyster shells to what have you, and that one of the dangers of us winding up splitting up and hitting in different directions is that, you know, one town is banning plastic bags while another town is trying to do pay-as-you-throw, while rural Orange County is trying to address still a third approach, and that's of concern to me. That's not to say that doesn't have all that directly to do with whether plastic bags are one of the things that plastic bag ban is one of the strategies that we use to reduce waste, but more to say that, like, whatever the strategies are that we use to reduce waste, they will be more effective if they are implemented with Chapel Hill and Orange County and Hillsborough all at the same time. And that anyway, I just want to get back on that. Sorry.
And I just have one last one. But to that point, maybe there's an opportunity in the future to collaborate or communicate with other jurisdictions so that we could do this as a mutual ask and be that much stronger.
I agree.
On those asks. The last one, not because I think this General Assembly will do anything about it, but rather because it would be irresponsible of me not to bring it up, given that we are on the eve of tipping points, and it is an emergency, is they should know that we want them to do something about climate change. And I just want to, you know, I don't have any hope for it, but I don't want it to be because I didn't say it.
Right.
They're very right. Pro-climate change.
Jackie and then Randy.
I'm sorry.
No, it's probably better that I finish up with this. Go ahead.
Along the same lines, and I don't think we'll ever get this, I, for a couple of years, have wanted us to be able to put a surtax on fertilizers. So, and then to use that money to offset what it cost us and is going to cost us to keep that out of Lake Jordan and out of our waterways. But that's another kind of Don Quixote kind of, I'm just not in a Don Quixote mood.
I guess my gut reaction is I think that's a fine issue to raise. I think we ought to raise it in the context of it being a statewide.
Because that's not that crazy. Just you pay for what you're.
But my point is, what's really needed is some statewide action on this issue, because here's the thing, is it's like Carrboro has...
Oh, no, I meant to get them to propose it on a statewide level, not as a Carrboro thing.
Because otherwise people buy all their fertilizer in Hillsborough and dump it in Carrboro and it doesn't do any good.
Well, and it doesn't, you know, aside from the money, it doesn't help the water. It doesn't help the water.
Exactly.
You know, so, but...
Exactly.
My question was on the last year and in years past, we have approved the North Carolina League of Municipalities goals, mm-hmm. and I just want to be sure, were we to do that tonight yet again, one of their goals is to seek legislation to classify reclaimed water as a water resource and study the injection of treated water into aquifers, and I am not comfortable with that this year any more than I was before. So I'd like to, if we were to...
Is that so? Is that the 2011 or is that the 2012 from them?
Well, this is
that's
2012.
The 11-12. This is that's the 11-12.
Right, but were we?
Okay,
were
I'm sorry. The staff said we were waiting still on
Triangle J.
Okay, right. As opposed to NCLM. Sorry.
Maybe Matt knows.
The league adopted a 2-year legislative program last year, so. Their priorities have not changed between last year and this year. It's TJ Cog's updated list that we're waiting on.
So this is the same one we approved last year, except for the...
Yes.
Okay, so we need kind of some restatement language about...
Well, we said it last year. Our number 6 from last year, I would just want to include that again this year.
But okay. Are these...
Last year we approved it with the distinction that they didn't approve.
Right.
Are these additions, though, here?
No, those were adopted last year
also.
March 24th.
Okay, and I can't remember whether we looked at this question at the time. The other thing is that I know NCLM is used a different approach last year for developing their agenda, but I would say in general in the past there have been a number of kind of personnel matters, local government personnel matters that we didn't really agree with league on. Is some of that included in last year's? They didn't include that stuff, did they?
No.
That's why we didn't address
right.
it.
Okay. Right. They had right. some collective bargaining stuff.
Yeah, right. They didn't have any last year's. Right. The problem was the water.
And then the last thing was that they were always on about comparative negligence. And it's not in there.
It's not in there.
Let's just leave it alone.
Right.
Sorry.
Michelle.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I had a question about the number 5 from last year, and I watched the tape today. Are you bringing that up, Lydia, and what happened with that?
Well, yeah, actually, so we tried to do this 3 years ago, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Our legislators brought it up, went to committee, et cetera, et cetera. It got shot down in committee, never made it to the House. So we, kind of made a statement that we would try to bring it up every year. So last year we also tried to bring it, we talked to our legislators about it. They were all in favor of it. But given the makeup of the legislature last year, I think Senator Kinnaird and Representative Insko, I think they kind of tested the waters a little bit on it and found that it wouldn't even really get even a proper hearing in committee. So it wasn't even really introduced in committee to even go forward. Because they also were butting up against other bigger fish like the amendment and things like that. So, in my view, this board kind of said, we ought to bring this up every year, just remind them every single year. Well, we could tell our legislators if they want to bring it up again this year. I mean, it won't get anywhere, but at least we're pestering them and we keep bringing it up. Because it's the short session and it's kind of a brand new thing, they might not even consider it at all this year. It might be more apt to get a start next year. And there also might be a new makeup of the General Assembly next year, too. But, if we want to kind of throw it out there again or ask them to try to throw it out there again, I'd be in favor of it just to bug them.
I think we should
keep it alive.
It doesn't hurt anything to have it be there. Did we just decide that we're meeting May 7th? Monday, May 7th, which is the day before
the amendment.
Yeah. Final vote on the amendment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Dan?
I'd be interested in hearing from the legislators about what, if anything, the state's doing about protecting people from unwarranted foreclosures on their homes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you all read in the paper this morning about events in Raleigh yesterday, but there's some anticipation of increased rounds of foreclosures. In this one house, they had the robo signing issue with that, and I don't know what North Carolina has done, if anything, to date, but I'd certainly like to hear from the legislatures and encourage protection of people's rights to stay in their homes and have their mortgages renegotiated or whatever that might be.
I agree. I thought I read something to that effect. There's just to that point, there
there's like the fourth one, maybe this speaks to it, says seek legislation to allow municipalities to establish vacant housing receivership programs for the purpose of rehabilitating structures not meeting, maybe not related.
Yeah, that's something different.
Yeah.
I like where you're headed with it, though, but...
yeah, that's
that was from the league.
Yeah, that was from the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Do we... It seems like our conversation, looking back at the list, the conversation last year, you know, I mean... There was some value to the discussion of the 10-acre requirement for farms. Has that issue really moved anywhere such that we feel like we can have any more intelligent discussion of it this year, or is that something?
I feel like that would fall into the category of very controversial for this session.
Yeah, it would.
The subject our attorney doesn't like a lot.
And then the other one along those lines I'm wondering about is whether we need to whether anything further needs to be discussed in terms of SBI reform with...
It would be nice to get an update on...
Just ask them for an update.
Yeah, on
okay.
How have they been cleaning up that act.
That's a good idea. And then, I forget, did we did not have any success with this the energy efficiency issue last year.
My understanding is it's held up in some committee. It's in a committee, but...
Well, let's just leave it there then. Maybe some miracle will happen in the committee. Hmm. All right. Is there anything else that we need to discuss on this? All right.
Do we want Kathy to read out the list, or
let me tell you what I see here is the first six things from last year's agenda, mm-hmm. including specifically on number two, asking for an update from them about what has happened with SBI reform, and then seven is deleted for this year. Mm-hmm. And then added to the list are communicating the importance of strong anti-fracking rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm. Or keeping the existing.
Well, I'm...
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Keeping/adding. Keeping/improving. Thank you. Annual rate hikes, the issue of opposing annual rate hikes, automatic annual rate hikes for financing of nuclear power, future nuclear power mm-hmm. facilities, mm-hmm. and then asking the state legislature to take some leadership on the mortgage foreclosure issue, particularly related to showing some leadership on challenging the robo-signing and other kind of... Questionable/fraudulent bank practices in connection with mortgages. That's what I've got written down.
There was also on Jackie's idea about the statewide fertilizer tax.
Oh, fertilizer
and
tax.
And Sammy wanted to talk about
climate change.
Okay. And climate change. Fertilizer tax and climate change.
You know, okay. I don't think they would apologize. Take it up this year, but we did pass the resolution recently about reviewing the Castle Doctrine. But I don't know. That might be one more.
Oh,
We might not want them to.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
These people want us to bring guns to church. All right. So I've got the first six on the list from last year in Attachment C, and then keeping/improving strong anti-fracking rules, annual rate hikes, opposing annual rate hikes to finance nuclear power. State leadership in mortgage foreclosure/robo-signing issues, a state fertilizer tax, and discussion of climate change leadership.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Does staff have anything else they need to discuss with you?
No, thank you.
All right. And anything else from the board?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. right, it's been moved and seconded that we adjourn. I think I had an interesting notice up here about something important that was happening this week.
There is. Advisory board.
It's on the 26th. Okay, so it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks away. 2 weeks and 2 days away. We're having a our annual advisory board volunteer recognition dinner at the Century Center at the Great Hall, Thursday, April 26th at 6 p.m. Look forward to seeing most of you there, all of you maybe. All those in favor of adjourning.
Oh, one last announcement. The community dinner is this Sunday.
Oh, and the community dinner is this Sunday.
This Sunday at McDougal.
At McDougal, all right. What time is that? Do you remember?
Early.
It's like 1 o'clock or early afternoon. Google it. Community dinner, Carborough with Google School.
Get tickets ahead of time.
Get tickets ahead of time. Go online, Carborough.
I've got a
all those papers.
Aye.